Welcome to another episode of the Marvel Masterworks podcast. As always, well, vidcast as well. I keep forgetting that it's both. Welcome to the next episode. This week we are going to be covering episodes, I believe they're...
Is it episodes five and six.
Five and six, yeah, that's yes. Where we are. Two massive episodes in terms of moving the narrative forward and reveals. So a lot to discuss and kind of go over. But in regards to WandaVision, actually, before we get to the news on WandaVision, so twofold question, since this is both a comics and multimedia and TV and movie podcast. So twofold question, as we always do. Donnie, first of all, actually, I haven't asked. How are you?
I was going to say, first of all, nobody knows who I am.
Yes. I at this point, it's like an old hat. I just know he's going to be here, and so I just take it for granted.
Always remember, every episode is someone's first episode.
Yeah. So. Whether it's a fedora or a baseball cap, we'll decide later, but Donnie's the reliable hat. But speaking of, I'm Adam, in case you didn't know who I was. If you're tuning in for this the first time, you probably think, look at these two idiots, they don't even know who they are. But that's my fault. But I'm your host, Adam, and with me is my co-host, Donnie. Donnie, how's it going?
What's up, WandaVision fans? It's the creator of the Dad Joke Anomaly. It's the Emerald Enthusiast.
Okay. Was that your ode to Doctor Strange or Wanda?
Either or, yes. Yes. I just think that really works. The dad joke hex. It creates an environment. Yeah.
It does. Usually your kids run away from, but you know, that may be the entire, that may be the desired effect. Who knows? But as we always do on the show, it being a two-pronged kind of show covering both movies and television and comics, what have you been reading? Start off, since there's not much in the way of comics news.
Well, on the Marvel side right here, got the Black Panther, the King in Black one-shot by Jeffrey Thorne.
Mm.
Yep.
And how's that?
Oh, I really like that. You don't have to know too much about what's going on with King in Black, although I have read some of King in Black. But yeah, I really do like that story. Gets deep into Wakandan tech, and also filled in an old Green Lantern hole with Volume 2, number 196.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
That is very good.
What have you been reading, sir?
Well, on the Marvel side, I've been reading, I've been going back and reading King in Black. I started from some of the prequels and stuff, and I finished reading the first five issues of Silver Surfer Black. That is a really trippy read. If you're into Grant Morrison, specifically his weirder stuff, this has some of those vibes. It's not by Grant Morrison, of course.
Wait a minute. He has non-weird stuff?
well, his Justice League run is pretty sure. Straightforward.
Yeah.
Which I love his Justice League run, but that's neither here nor there. Yeah, he didn't write this book, but it has a lot of similar Grant Morrison flair, which I guess works for Silver Surfer. And the art was equally trippy. It did fill in some gaps in terms of, let's put it this way, if you're just checking this out, just if you randomly see this without knowing what King in Black is, and you decide, well, you know, that Silver Surfer guy was pretty cool, mm-hmm. in Rise of the Silver Surfer back in 07, I want to check out his comic book, and that's what you see on the shelf, and you decide to pick it up. It does give you a little bit of a quick rundown of who, what the Silver Surfer is.
Okay.
So it does its job in that regard. Overall, I mean, I'll be honest with you, the art wasn't really my thing. So that detracted from my enjoyment a little bit. But still, overall pretty solid. And so in my as I, cause I'm trying to go in some sort of, or like I found a checklist. So I'm trying to go in some sort of order in terms of King in Black storyline. And so I'm now moving on to, there's a Spider-Man, tie-in with King in Black, which I'm trying to figure out what the heck it's called. Let's see if I can.
Well, I've read as much as I can get my hands on of King in Black so far.
It's Symbiote Spider-Man is what it was. Symbiote Spider-Man number one. That is great. That so far has been it's only one of the five, but it's been a great read. I like that it takes place in the past when Peter got, or just that shortly after Peter got the black suit symbiote. And so it's kind of trying to mesh the older stories and bring them, you know, tie them in with the newer stuff, and I really appreciated that. So I won't spoil that because eventually we'll do a wider review on King in Black, but that's what I've been reading.
Yeah, I definitely want all of that. I mean, some of it is going to have to get collected because the story is so big, but I really like that they're tying in, you know, some of the past of both Peter and Eddie Brock. You know, there's a lot of big Eddie Brock revelations that are coming about. So, and the character of Null, I think, is a great villain. Very terrifying, you know, very horror movie-ish type of vibe. So I'm really digging that.
Agreed. So it's good. Well, that's what I've been reading. And then watching on the Marvel side, aside from WandaVision, there hasn't been much that I've been watching because, you know, there's not a whole lot.
But, yeah, 2020 didn't give us very much, did it? So
it did not. So we'll have to wait. But we are going to get an influx of Marvel goodies.
And aren't we happy about that?
Indeed we are. All right, so... what have you been watching? Anything besides WandaVision? Are you going back and checking out something?
Plenty of comic book related stuff. I've been watching some of Spawn, the old animated series. Supergirl, obviously still making my way through that. And what else have I been watching other than WandaVision? I did watch Black Panther again, just missing Chadwick Boseman. But that's been all in the last couple of weeks. So
cool. Awesome. Very cool. All right, so let's get down to business. What we did watch, WandaVision. Let's start with episode 4. So
WandaVision. No, episode 5.
5, sorry. We did 4.
Yeah, we did 4.
It wouldn't be an episode if I didn't screw up. So, you know, I just...
Hey, that's part of the fun of it,
yeah,
you know?
It is. Yeah.
So, episode five, and we are on to the 1980s and the vibe, the background of the show.
The decade of my birth. That's what
the decade that brought us Adam.
Yeah, some people are cursing that decade as you speak.
Who traverses many, many realms.
Indeed, many multiverses, many earths. For sure. Let me get in case I need it, my pen.
Yeah. So Wanda and Vision are parents now. Mm-hmm. And we see Vision come out with binkies in his ears. And so that's a sure sign that this is not the DC Extended Universe.
No.
And Agnes comes in wearing an extremely 1980s outfit.
Oh, God, was it ever.
Yeah. That reminded me of, like, pretty much every female singer in a 1980s music video kind of looked like that. Yeah. But, you know, early on, we're starting to see more of this veneer of Wanda starting to crack because she makes a comment, and when Wanda just kind of looks at her, you know, about taking care of the baby, she's like, do you want me to just take it from the top? So a lot of the tone of this has shifted from the first couple episodes where it's kind of all fun and games with just a couple of references to the larger narrative, to now all the characters are kind of looking around and looking at Wanda, and everybody seems increasingly nervous about what's going on. So what did you think, sir?
Yeah, they're clearly dispensing with the facade, and now you're starting to get a sense of Wanda you know, now that it's kind of been confirmed, Wanda being the perpetrator of this fictional bubble that they're in.
Yes.
But yeah, how fearful everybody is of her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're walking on angel, like you said. Agnes is like, because Vision objects kind of to Agnes holding the babies, and then, you know, one's like, oh, it's fine, you know, she'll be, it's okay, this and that. And that's when Agnes is like, yeah, you want me to just, you know, just take her from the top? Do you want me to get the babies? You know, she's very, very much like trying to prod Wanda to find out exactly what she wants, so as not to upset her. So that way, and the way the dialogue was delivered from Agnes, and coupled with the music, things really got creepy there.
Right. Yeah. And we'll see later on. I mean, they do have good reason to fear her. We'll mention this as we get to the end of episode 6. Wanda's power level seems to be beyond what we've seen cinematically. You know, her power seems to have grown quite a bit. So we'll get to that. But in this episode, going back to episode 5, we see that the children, who, by the way, and spoiler, if you don't want to hear this, be careful. 3, 2, 1. This is Wiccan and Speed, the characters. They were in the Young Avengers. And we will see that they have similar powers. Wiccan having similar powers to Wanda. Speed having similar powers to another character who I'm going to mention at the end of this episode. But we also see that the kids have grown up very quickly. And so we see the picture of a birthday cake that says 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Because they've grown up to 5 years old at this point.
Yeah.
So even though they were just babies a short time ago.
Yeah, I mean, talk about a growth spurt. Right?
Yeah. That's
and, you know, that you brought, you know, Wiccan and Speed into the conversation. I think this is the direction the MCU is going to go in terms of Young Avengers. I think that's a logical step for the franchise at some point.
Yes.
So, you know, they're already sowing the seeds. They've got Ironheart coming in. Cassie Lang, although she'll be one of probably the older members of the team, but still. Kate Bishop is, you know, is going to be debuting in the Hawkeye Disney Plus series. And since I'm, you know, on the subject of Kate Bishop, played by Hayley Steinfeld. Did you know, Donnie?
I have an idea where this is going.
Well, I'll tell you, just to confirm the theory rolling around in your head. But in case anybody was curious and wondering, and I know I'm probably the only one that gets a kick out of it. Well, me and Donnie get a kick out of this. But anyway, in case anybody was wondering, as for Hayley Steinfeld, she's on the list.
She's on the list.
All right.
Somewhere there is a multiverse Adam who is married to her. So.
Yes, and good for him. Sucks to be, you know, and if in that universe the Leafs have won the cup already, I'm going to be very upset with that version of me. I'll tell you that right now.
I hope they're a dynasty in that version. So,
well, if that's the case, I'm going to find my way over there. Yeah. And,
would that be like Earth 6767?
Yeah. That's probably a good number. Yeah. Where they've been won, basically on that Earth, they've won every year since 67.
Oh, hey, I'm down for that. So
yeah, so. Shortly after this episode, I'll be heading my way over there, but and I'll be back at that for next week's episode. I just pop in back here to do episodes. that's the only thing. But yeah, so I think Young Avengers is something that we're going to see down the road.
Makes sense, yeah.
But furthering the creepiness factor of this particular episode is the discovery of a dog, a little dog. The dog itself is not creepy. But it's a cute little dog, yeah, as a matter of fact.
What happens with it is creepy, though. So.
Yeah, well, so the kids find it. They coerce the parents into letting them keep it. After, you know, after Virginia says, maybe when you're 10, suddenly the kid's age to 10 years old.
Although I must say, someone who's clothed a couple kids in the past, it's not that far off the mark. It feels sometimes like they're growing like that.
I can imagine. And I see it with my own nephews.
I'm sure Steven would agree with me if he was here. So.
Yes, I'm sure he would. But so they keep the dog after the kids age forward. The dog goes missing. Wanda and the boys and Agnes, well, no, Agnes joins them later. Wanda and the boys head out in the search. The mailman shows up and when told about what's going on with the dog, he says, "Oh, don't worry, your mother will bring it back. You know, she's good at that kind of stuff." Kind of hinting again that Wanda's in control of all this stuff, and that gives her pause. And then Agnes pops up out of a bush with the dog wrapped in a blanket. The dog is dead, and Wanda is then explaining death to the children. Mm-hmm. And the children ask her to bring the dog back because, according to the children, Wanda can fix dead.
Yeah.
And then
I should mention that early on in the episode, we saw, first of all, I want to say that, you know, you see the intro, which I thought was really well done. It echoed Growing Pains, Family Matters, Roseanne. You see kind of allusions to these type of shows.
Olsen there, which is
ironic
because Elizabeth Olsen's sisters,
right,
were Michelle.
Yeah. What was it? Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen, right?
Indeed, yeah.
Right.
And so, I can't do the pen trick with them just because I know they're young adults now, but they're probably in the 30s. Who are we kidding? They're probably in the 30s or late
30s. Something like that, but yeah. But I remember them from Full House.
I can't do it because I remember Michelle, and I just can't. The pen thing doesn't work. I'm sorry. Right. So they're not on the list by virtue of I just can't.
Right. So they're, yeah. So they're in the multiverse somewhere as, like, you know, your nieces or something like that. So yeah, we get it. But in one of the things
I'm not that much older than them, by the way. Thanks for that, Donnie.
Oh, but we see in this episode
it's that the boss, that'll get you real far. It's worked well with Steven so far.
We see that Hayward calls Wanda a terrorist because we see some file footage of her stealing Vision's body and eventually resurrecting him, and that goes back to your point of the dog being dead and Tommy and Billy saying, "Mom, you can fix dead."
And by the way, I like that this episode goes back and forth into, like, the bubble and the real world. I like traversing of the world. And Darcy, again, played by Kat Dennings, who was probably my least favorite character in the first two Thor movies, continually impresses me here. So it just, funny how in a different property within the same universe, her performance can appeal to me and not appeal to me, depending on, again, it's depending on the material she's given. That's proof of that. And it was creepy to see Wanda taking the body parts of Vision.
Vision, yeah. And later on in the episode, too, Monica Rambeau, she mentions that the atmosphere in what they're calling the Westview Anomaly, that is the hex, the magic that she has over everybody, it's the Westview Anomaly. And she says grief is the atmosphere.
Yeah, which is very, very interesting. And another interesting fact is there's a conversation earlier in the episode. We're kind of jumping back and forth here, but
well, just like the show's doing, so hey.
Yeah, the boys ask about, Wanda having a brother.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "I do, his name's Pietro. He's far away." They ask, "Where is he? You know, how come we never see him?" She says, "He's far away," and that makes her real sad. Of course, viewers of the MCU we'll know that he's as dead as a doornail from watching Age of Ultron. He was killed.
Saving Hawkeye, right?
Right, yeah.
And the kid.
And thankfully that he did, because now we get the Hawkeye series, which allows me to be able to watch Haley Steinfeld. So way to go. Quicksilver, a.k.a. Aaron Taylor Johnson. Your sacrifice.
I like how you made that connection.
Your sacrifice is very well appreciated.
Okay.
I liked you, but I prefer seeing Haley Steinfeld, all things being equal.
Fair enough.
So she mentions her brother, and it's... He gets a couple of mentions in this episode. So there was that. Then Vision is having conversations with the neighbors. You know, he's doing a hidey-ho neighbor with Agnes and the other guy. Man, they should really get Wilson on this freaking show. You only see his eyes in the hat.
He's doing a Heidi.
I mean, it's all Disney related. What the hell? Why not?
That's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah. So, for people who haven't seen this, Vision is growing more suspect with every event that happens. He realizes that things are amiss here. So,
So they kind of give him, they further hint along, you know, don't upset Wanda. She's going to, you get the sense that they're prisoners there. So Vision's had enough. And once they've dealt with putting the kids to bed and dealing with the kids' grief, they have a conversation, and basically Vision calls her out. And says, what are you doing here? How come we're the only ones that have... Our kids are the only kids I see here. So he calls her out on different things.
Yeah.
And she says, well, you think I'm controlling it? I don't know how this all... You know, I don't know what's going on. Right?
Right.
And there's this tense thing where they're both levitating in the air, you know, hovering.
Yes.
And so the arguing continues as the end credits start rolling. And then there's a knock at the door. The door opens up.
Before we get there, I should mention one thing, though. At this point, Monica Rambeau has flown a drone into the anomaly to try to talk to Wanda. And unfortunately, she's double-crossed, you know, kind of like an old WCW angle. She's double-crossed.
And too bad Eric Bischoff was not in this episode.
And so Hayward takes a shot at Wanda with the drone, which kind of reminded me of the Winter Soldier when Hydra, they thought about, firing a laser at Bruce Banner. You know, because he was on the list there, not your list, but the other list of targets for Hydra there. And I was like, yeah, firing a laser at the Hulk, that's not going to work out for you. Nor is it going to work out for you firing something at Wanda here.
No, definitely not.
And so we see her, she emerges temporarily
from
the anomaly. And she was like, leave me alone, back off. This is going to be your only warning.
And did you notice that she was in her Age of Ultron outfit and sported the Russian accent?
Yes.
Was really weird to me to hear with that accent again.
Actually, I think, wasn't it more like the Captain America Civil War outfit, because it wasn't the younger or the skirt thing. But anyway, I'd have to go back and watch it.
Oh, yeah, okay, you're probably right. But either way.
Yeah, yeah.
The Russian accent is there.
And it is back. Heard, yes, yes.
We haven't heard that in ages.
And that comes up later on too, in episode 6. Yeah.
That was kind of weird to hear it again. It's like, it threw me back right into Age of Ultron days. But so that happens, and one thing that I want to mention regarding that moment. When she turns basically she's confronting them, and there's all these army personnel with guns pointed at her, and she points, using her powers, has the army personnel point the guns at themselves. Much like Magneto had the police officers point the gun at themselves when they had him, quote unquote, under arrest.
Right.
During the first X-Men movie. So I thought that that parallel was very interesting. Little did I know that that was going to get kind of a payoff when the doorbell rang. Because the doorbell rings, and we see a gray hair. So it's from, like, door opens, and the camera is facing.
Right. We see a back shot from behind the visitor's head, right.
Yeah, and his hair is gray. So now I thought, well, they mentioned Quicksilver. They got Aaron Taylor Johnson to make a cameo. The camera pans around, and the visitor at the door is indeed Quicksilver.
However,
but it ain't no Aaron Taylor Johnson. It's Evan Peters.
It is the MC. It is the X-Men Quicksilver.
It's
the
X-MCU. The X-Men
right.
version of Pietro / Quicksilver. And then he says, and even she looks at him, Adam Sturgis, and says, Pietro, and he's like, what? Can a big bro come to, you know,
visit his sister? Yeah. Sister?
And he calls Vision the popsicle.
Yeah, he says, who's the popsicle?
Popsicle, which is very funny. I got hungry for popsicle after that episode. But then we cut to Darcy saying, she recast Pietro, which was a meta kind of funny thing. I wasn't expecting to see Evan Peters. I'll tell you that right now.
I don't think anybody was.
I'll say it straight up. Of the two Quicksilvers, I prefer Evan Peters.
Mm-hmm.
A question that I have, and I don't think it's clear even after the second episode, or episode 6, sorry. But a question I have for you is this going to be a doorway into bringing in mutants into the MCU? Or is this a ruse, and is it not Quicksilver at all, even though they're saying it is?
You know, I can say yes on both counts. I really do think this is a kind of an early sign that eventually we are going to see some of those X-Men characters very soon. Possibly even maybe they will open up the old X-Men movies and say that if we have the multiverse concept, that those things are actually canon. However, at the same time, I don't think this is Quicksilver, and episode 6 will give you more of a shot, a look into that.
I'll be honest. I hope it is Quicksilver, all things being equal.
Okay.
That would be my preference. Let me say that. To cast Evan Peters, say he's Quicksilver, and then reveal he's not, would be a little bit of a gut punch to me.
Well, tense up your abdominals. So,
I agree. But again, I mean, we do have Deadpool, so. Now that they've opened up that door and said that is they've acknowledged that Pietro, there is a Pietro somewhere that looks like that. If they so choose at some point to be, if this is not the real Quicksilver of that universe, if they so choose to bring him in via the multiverse, then that option's on the table.
Well, and that very well may be the reason why, if this is not Pietro, that version, again, the Evan Peters version is used. By the way, it's somewhat difficult for me to kind of get accustomed to Evan Peters doing kind of a comedic character, because I know him from American Horror Story, where he plays some really creepy characters there. But so I had to adjust with him being kind of this... you know, this kind of quirky, comedic version of Pietro.
Yeah.
But he does a good job, so.
Oh, he's really good. The accent he puts on is good. But yeah, this was, what a great reveal, though.
We heard, I mean, there had been press releases that said that there's a big reveal coming, and a lot of people, of course, theorized that it was Magneto, but I think everybody got swerved with this one, so.
Now I kind of want Magneto, though.
Well, everybody wants Magneto,
like,
here.
Even if, imagine if they get if they get Fassbender or even McKellen. Oh, I mean, because listen,
Well, it's a good thing. If the Magneto
Fox
had
X-Men,
go
the
ahead.
Fox X-Men universe cast Magneto great twice.
Oh, yes.
I mean,
and that's why I don't think it's impossible. There are many reasons why I don't think it's impossible that they're going to eventually, Marvel Studios is going to open that up and say, that's an adjacent universe that happened, and yeah, here are some of these characters.
I don't think they'll bring in every X-Men over from there, but a couple of the big ones, like Evan Peters, I could see. Deadpool, I bet you they'd love to get Wolverine, but Hugh Jackman's like, I've hung up the claws, leave me alone.
You know what? They throw enough money at him, though, and say, look, just come in for a cameo. It's possible.
Oh, yeah, look, listen, we live in a world where the Snyder Cut is being released, so nothing is impossible. Because a couple of years ago, I would have said there's no chance that thing's coming out. So, yeah, nothing's impossible. But, yeah, what a reveal. What an episode. Is there anything you want to say about it beyond that, or are we going to rate it and move on to episode 6?
No, I just like how the narrative has built from episode to episode. You know, a lot of people, they were very confused after the first couple episodes as to what this was going to be. Now you're really starting to see the picture of how this is coming together, how this is materializing.
It's built to show just how far Wanda's gone in creating this idyllic. And the first three comedy episodes were to show that classic Americana, that idealistic look at America, to try and showcase the world that she was trying to create.
Yes. Yes, and so, yeah, this is really brilliantly written here. We're seeing this from episode to episode. This was plotted very well.
Yeah.
This was planned out very intricately. So, to the writers of the show, to everyone involved in this, I just want to say thank you. As it goes on, again, this is very enjoyable, and after the year that was 2020 when there was so little content put out as far as Marvel goes, it's just nice to be able to do this week after week. 3 a.m. on the East Coast here, I'm there every week. So,
yeah.
The Scarlet Witching Hour, as I say.
Yeah, and also, you know, Donnie has interesting hours, let's say. Interesting hours. So, we have him, me and Steven have him doing watchtower duty when we're sleeping. So, that's easy.
To all the viewers and listeners of Multiverse Musings, while you're asleep, I'm working hard for you, taking notes, forming our shows to keep you up on all the happenings in the DC and Marvel universe.
I guess for the Marvel purposes, you're like Heimdall. You're just standing. I can just imagine Donnie standing there with a thing.
That works for me. Yes.
Or and he's a part-time Santa Claus. You know, looking at my list, making sure it's right. You know, checking it twice, seeing if I missed any particular wife because he doesn't want me to get in trouble on any of the multiverses. So exceptional episode. That's all I have to say.
Yes. Yes.
Have you focus on the X part of exceptional? See what I did there. Talk about you. You think you're the only one with the dad jokes? I'm not even a dad, and I can throw some cheese on that pizza.
There you go.
So let's rate this thing then.
What was the rating system again? Was it out of 5?
I do not know. I don't remember. I should. No,
I think it was TV for TV. We're doing letter grade, so.
All right.
Yeah, I'm going to give it an A. I don't know what else they could have done to set up the next episode. So, yeah, definitely give it an A.
This was, I got to be honest, that Evan Peters reveal was so unexpected for me. And the fact that I managed to get away with having without having it spoiled for me by some miracle of thing, I got to give it an A+.
Likewise, as much, you know, I'm on the internet several times a day when it comes to comic book news, reading all the rumors and things like that. That never surfaced that Evan Peters was there. So they kept it under wraps, and good job to them, Marvel
Sweet.
Studios.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, so that takes care of five. Let's go to episode six.
Episode six, we're on to a backdrop that's more of like the 90s, early 2000s.
Malcolm in the Middle is the...
I got vibes Malcolm in the Middle. Also, the talking directly to the camera made me think a little bit about the old Bernie Mac show. Rest in peace, Bernie Mac. And we're seeing that, again, Vision is putting the pieces of the puzzle together. And, the kids who, by the way, I think we may have failed to mention the fact that when Vision told them you have to be at least 10 years old, they aged up to 10 years old. Maybe we did mention that, but...
We did,
So, yeah, they are now 10 years old, and this is the Halloween Spectacular episode. Mm. And so we see...
Spooktacular, right?
Spooktacular, yes. Okay, so we see the classic Scarlet Witch, the classic Vision, and the classic Quicksilver costumes. Mm-hmm. And I pointed out to my wife, I'm like, that's why they don't do always, direct adaptations of characters' costumes from the comics, because...
Yeah.
Yeah, that would not work.
I mean, look, they look great on the page, and some of them look good in live action. But
some do, yes.
Christopher Reeve Superman in a Superman costume, Brandon Routh in the Kingdom Come Superman costume, gold. Adam West in the 60s Batman show, comic accurate, look for the time, look great.
Okay, we can disagree on that last one, that's all right.
except for the fact that his stuff, he wasn't Batman built, let's say, in terms of, but imagine, for example, Robert Pattinson coming out in Adam West's outfit. I mean, what are we doing here, right?
But there's a reason that, that costuming, sometimes they spend a long time making these characters look like they could work in reality.
Yeah.
When they adapt them into live action.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And it was a nice nod to see that. Listen, there's not much that Elizabeth Olsen doesn't look good in. So, she wanted to wear this costume from now until the end of her Marvel contract. I got my pen. Where do I sign?
even the goofy cape. I think you'd be okay with it. And I think most people would agree with you. So
exactly. Vision. I mean, like he looked like he called it. He said, "I look like a Mexican wrestler."
Yeah. Lucha Libre.
Yeah, and it's funny when he came down the stairs. She said something about, "Oh, cool, nice choice of costume." He's like, "It was the only outfit in the drawer."
Exactly.
Again, hinting that Wanda is in control here.
Yes.
Again, Quicksilver comes in his classic outfit. I like that we see him playing with the kids and, chasing them around and scaring them on Halloween. And we see the running effects that are consistent with the MCU iteration of the running effects.
Right. I noticed that too, that the effects weren't like the X-Men effects that
sold out. But by the way, those sequences where he did that in the X-Men movies, I mean, pure gold.
Most definitely.
I as an X-Men fan, I loved it. But as a Flash fan, I'm like, I'm going to use an acronym. It starts with an S, ends with a B. You beat Flash to it. Again, Sonic beat the Flash to it. Yeah. But I digress. Flashpoint 2022, or 23, actually. Michael Keaton, anyway, but that's neither here nor there. Quicksilver comes in. There's a whole... So the kids and them are going trick-or-treating. Vision is doing some neighborhood investigation to sort of further find out the mystery that he's been cued into.
And we should point out here that when he does that, Wanda is a little taken aback because...
Yeah.
He's starting to not act the way that she thinks he should act.
Yes.
And she's starting to realize that maybe he's not under her control and that there's only so much influence she has over him.
Yeah. So we see Vision traversing the cul-de-sac. And if you notice it, it is a cul-de-sac.
Yes.
I'm not making a joke here. There was I laughed when I saw the cul-de-sac just because of all the ruckus that word has now created among fandom. Who knew that would be such a polarizing word?
I just like to say the word cul-de-sac on a big cast.
Yeah, it's a cool word.
Welcome to the Multiverse Musings cul-de-sac.
Yeah, I mean, we should do a whole episode on different types of cul-de-sacs. but he comes across the parked vehicle of Agnes.
Agnes, yes.
Dressed as a witch. And she's kind of in a trance. And he sort of nudges her too, and he said, oh, she's like, oh, am I dead? First of all, she's like, oh, she seemed confused.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, help me. You're an Avenger. You're the Vision. Help me.
Your Vision, right. Yeah. Right.
And he says,
well, and we saw him do that episode 5 with Norm, where he was able to basically temporarily like override Wanda's influence.
Yeah. And he says, yeah, I am the Vision. I do want to help, but what's an Avenger?
Yeah.
And then you come to the realization of, she says, am I dead? And he's like, oh, no, why would you think that? And she goes, because you are.
Yeah.
And that, you know, takes him aback.
And she starts screaming, dead, dead. It's a very creepy moment.
It is creepy.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, back at the Halloween, festivities in the town. Mm-hmm. First of all, I want to point out something. One of the movies that was being shown on the marquee at the theater was The Parent Trap. Now, there were several Parent Trap adaptations. One featured, I believe, the Olsen twins, did it not?
I think it did, yeah.
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 Which is a nice nod again to Elizabeth's actual sisters, which is kind of cool.
That is cool.
Speaking of the twins, well, they start exhibiting abilities. One, as you were alluding to earlier, has super speed.
Mm-hmm.
And again, a similar effect to the Quicksilver super speed. Same kind of visual effect. Then
I did want to make one mention here, though. That actually happens on, we see it's Ellis Avenue, and I believe that's a reference to Warren Ellis, who once wrote the X-Men. So
indeed,
you see those kind of little, those Easter eggs all through any Marvel movie. Yeah, you see those. So
yeah, all these adaptations at some point find a way to acknowledge a creator of, or a writer or artist who worked on whatever the property is that they're adapting. Vision continues his exploration and makes his way to the barrier and starts making his way through the barrier, which looks like a very painful experience.
Yeah, it looks excruciating. That might be the most painful visual that we've seen yet.
Yeah. Of course, the army stupidly, because typically the army is portrayed like this in these kind of movies. Their first reaction, we're going to put guns on the Vision. Like, that's really going to do anything. Like,
right, well.
I mean, really?
We've already established that Hayward is not thinking these things through, so.
Yeah, he doesn't seem like the brightest tool.
Yeah, it's characters like, you know, Darcy and Agent Wu and obviously Monica Rambeau. They're the ones who are like.
Now you said Wu, I'm thinking of Ric Flair.
No reference to Little Jimmy this week, though, so
yeah,
anyway.
Yeah.
Back to what you were saying, as far as the, you know, there's a lot of theories out there, and I think one of the theories that's online, I think it picked up a little steam with this episode, Pietro jokingly calls the kids demon spawns, and we also see that while it is comic accurate, his hair kind of looks a little bit like horns, and so...
Ooh, that's, yeah.
And, you know, later on, we see that Wanda looks at him and she actually sees...
The Walking Dead version of Peter.
A shot up corpse version.
Yeah.
So, you know, the theory is that whether it's Mephisto or some other demonic entity that is basically manifesting through Wanda, that force could be in play.
So that's why you're saying it's not actual Pietro.
As the episode went on, he started to make more and more allusions that seemed to be triggering to her.
But he did say something that made me wonder that it could be Pietro or Evan Peters could be brought back.
Sure. I think it may be. Go ahead, sir.
What he said was, she's like, how did you know to come? He's like, well, I heard you calling me, and then I got pulled here. And I took that to be pulled from your universe into this one.
Well, but my theory is at this point is that it could be the kind of reanimated corpse of that Pietro, but controlled by some other outside entity that heard that
call. Or could he just, even if he's not a corpse, could he just be being controlled? Like it is,
sure.
It is that Pietro from the X-Men universe, but he's just under the influence of Mephisto or whoever this entity is.
Yes. Yeah.
Because to my knowledge, X-Men's Pietro hasn't died in the last movie I saw. So yeah. Both of our theories could be correct.
Right. And again, this is developing, but we're seeing that there are more characters now interacting with Wanda who are suspect of what's happening here. Before it was just little pieces. Now the veneer that, you know, the construct around her is starting to crack.
Yeah, so, for sure.
Until that is the end of this episode.
Yes.
What happened at the end of this episode, Adam?
Well, the kids or the demon spawn, as Pietro calls them, tell her that dad's in trouble. And he tells her, I heard screaming. He seems like he's in pain. And she says, where? And he kind of gives her a roadmap. She starts, I believe, levitating. Her eyes go red. She starts pulling, the angry Superman look with that red eyes. And we see around town, like in the normal verse, as Vision is continually trying to pull himself through the wall, the barrier. And by the way, that reminded me of, like, you know, when in a tag team match when one wrestler is being heavily beat on and they're like
they're going for the hot tag, right?
that reminded me of that. I'm like, this poor sucker's got nobody to tag. His two creators are nowhere to be found. Iron Man is dead, and the Hulk is good. Where is the Hulk nowadays? Anybody know?
Well, he was there at the end of Endgame with the damaged arm, which, by the way, I didn't like that aspect of the movie. But I digress. We'll go there
maybe
later.
Maybe he's prepping to get ready for She-Hulk, which is going to be played by Tatiana Maslany. And by the way,
is
on the list. Thank you. Who would have thought? Listen, if you people can start guessing who's on my list, I'll have a prize. How about that? We'll come up with a prize, and if you guess, we're gonna make it a good number, this is gonna be some kind of hard task. So if you guys can guess 20 names on my list, I'll send a prize. I get people opening the door, but in the meantime. The end of the episode, we see in Westview, right?
The Westview anomaly. Yes.
Yeah, the outside world.
Yeah, I like how at one point, and this is when we see Wanda start to really manifest even a new level of power. She's
pulling them in.
Yes.
And that's pretty much how the episode ends.
And we see, like, you know, the what is, you know, even the buildings are affected, you know. So we see this kind of grim West view become this.
And you know, it's funny, as I'm watching, I glanced at the time left on the episode.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like 9 minutes. I'm like, oh, what's going to happen next? There was like 8 minutes of credits. And I'm like, really?
Right.
Like, seriously? So that's how it ends, with everybody else being seemingly pulled into this world.
Right, yeah. Like I said, I like all the background, the color changes, and that all adds to this mystique of just how powerful she is, you know?
Now, before we speculate on where this could lead, but I want to go back for a second, because there's one point where, as the Vision's coming out of the bubble, he starts to disappear, like he did in Age of Ultron.
Mm-hmm.
So again, that's a reminder. Vision, as far as we know, in the outside world, outside of this bubble, is dead. D-E-A-D.
Right.
And we're talking, I hope we don't get another visit, but we're talking Undertaker.
Yeah, I mean, when he had the Mind Stone pulled from him, I mean, yeah, again, and we've seen that in the previous episodes where he's all gray and he obviously has the stone pulled from his head, like in Infinity War. So,
So now, Donnie, with the end of that episode, before we give it a rating, in terms of let's speculate a second.
Okay.
Do you think that her bringing in everybody, seemingly, into this bubble is what continues the collapse of this facade?
It could. Again, I'm getting more vibes of House of M, that this is something that is continually growing, that it's not just Wanda existing in this small pocket, that she is, whether it's her, as Monica Rambeau theorized, or whether there is some other force kind of spurring her on, this display of power, this hex, is going to get stronger and stronger.
Okay. All right, so we'll see. We'll have to wait and see, but that's the end of episode 6, so it comes time to rate it. So, Donnie?
Oh, I'm going to give it an A+. I really like the continual switch from the comedic and the campy to the creepy and the dire that we see here. Things have another couple of... we've gone up the ladder, another couple rungs of how desperate things are getting for the characters trying to deal with this.
Yeah, it just, things are escalating in terms of the reveals at this point. And like you said, there's that balance of, there's still some humor. And I like when we start the episode, it kind of gives us a sense of what era we're in terms of the sitcom aspect.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm liking this real world, the dark turn that happens in the real world, because it shows what level of power Wanda has. And like, if she doesn't come out of this like in a good mental state, whoever's left from the Avengers, wherever she shows up next, which is Multiverse of Madness, God help Doctor Strange, because he's going to need it.
By the way, Wiccan was dressed up like Doctor Strange for... That was his Halloween costume, which I liked,
by the way. old school Doctor Strange, yeah.
Yes, oh yeah.
I loved it. I'm going to give it an A+ as well.
Oh, definitely. I would definitely give this an A+. I mean, this is really amazing. And whether Wanda has been infiltrated by some deity, you know, or some demon or whatever, you know, it made me think about the old Peter Parker storyline was One More Day, where Peter bargains with Mephisto to save Aunt May.
Yeah.
I'm wondering
Wanda
if
made a bargain,
That's what I'm wondering. Has she made some kind of, you know, deal with the devil here, and she doesn't remember everything that's going on, but that's what's being, you know, kind of thrust upon her, is there's, you know, somebody behind her pulling her strings, even as she pulls the strings out into her reality. So
it's going to be interesting to see where it goes. If we got an hour each episode for the last three, which is fantastic to me. Probably be 50 minutes and 10 minutes worth of credits, but I digress. You can tell I'm bitter over that, eh? Just a little bit.
Nonetheless, I will be there 3 a.m.
Yeah. Till 3:50 a.m.
Bringing you all the coverage on the Multiverse Musings Podcast Network.
Of course, right here on YouTube and also on Podbean for the audio version.
And iTunes.
And if the reason why you're turning to the audio version is because our visuals have broken your screen, you cannot sue us. When you click on this video, it happens at your own risk. I just want to point that out. But we will be back.
But you do get a look. You do get a look at an awesome beard, though.
I mean, look at this. Yeah, look at the. He's got the full beard, or more of a full beard. I got the little Tony Stark goatee thing going on. I wish I had his bank account, but you know.
I wish I had a quarter of his bank account.
I wish I had this car. His house before it blew up. Gwyneth Paltrow's on the list. So is the reporter, the blonde reporter, whatever her name was. Mm-hmm. And he brought in Black Widow into the universe, so I wish I had one of those too. But I digress. Anyway, we'll be back. Donnie and I are going to discuss how we're going to handle these last three episodes. But we'll be back to cover them. I don't know how many episodes it's going to be in terms of our coverage, but we'll cover all three of them at some point. We'll be back with another episode of coverage of this show. We'll cover it all the way to the end. But until next time, if there's a way, if you guys like want to talk theories with us about how's this going to end, where's this going, you can on social media. So, Donnie, where can they find you?
If you want to find me, you can find me on Twitter as The Emerald Enthusiast, where I do Green Lantern product reviews. But I talk about all the happenings in the Marvel and DC universe. So hit me up there. Let's talk comic books.
Yeah, and if you want to talk with me, it's at @Adam_ElitesFan on Twitter. There's also a Facebook page for the podcast network. And Steven's going to have the link to the Facebook page in the description of this episode. So click that, ask for permission to join. I will add you, and we can continue the conversation happily over there as well. There's also a direct Twitter account for the show. It's at MMNPDC. And you can chat with us there as well. But until our next episode, I want to remind you that WandaVision... Actually, scratch that. Quicksilver is forever. From the first Pietro to the last. So long, everybody.
Dad joke.